welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy. And we're going to get right on back into the news here. Up in Oregon, independent media producer Josh Harbor has been subpoenaed to appear before the Somerset, New Jersey grand jury, which had been convened to investigate the liberation of 14 beagle puppies from the Huntington Life Sciences Laboratory in East Millstone, New Jersey. The law wants his video, This Means War, which they say contains images of the action. This is the second grand jury subpoena that Josh has received. The first asked him to give testimony about six actions taken in the Pacific Northwest by the Underground Animal Liberation Front and the Earth Liberation Front. Harper initially defied the subpoena altogether and then finally appeared under threat of felony criminal contempt, but still refused to give his interrogators any information. The Portland grand jury was beaten. Now it's time to beat the Somerset grand jury. Please gather with activists across the street, across the East Coast on the morning of September 12th at 8:30 a.m. in the front of the Somerset County Prosecutor's Office in Somerville, New Jersey. Once again, that's September 12th, 8:30 a.m. in front of the Somerset County Prosecutor's Office in Somerville, New Jersey. And we want to thank the O-Read Daily, especially Randy Gould, for that story. All right. We're going to get into some snowmobile news here.
Hi, how's it going? I dig snowmobiles myself. It's just some places, some times to have them, so check this story out here. It's Keep Denali National Park's Wildlife Snowmobile Free. Opposed Denali Rider. In June 2000, after years of public involvement, the National Park Service adopted a regulation that maintained the long-standing closure of the core of Denali National Park to recreational snowmobile use. The regulation specifically applies to the 2 million acres of the former Mount McKinley National Park, which was designated by Congress as wilderness in the 80s Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, when Denali was expanded. The National Park Service regulation respects the original provisions allowing rural Alaskan residents engaged in subsistence way of life to use snowmobiles as transportation in the Alaska parks and wilderness for hunting, gathering, and traveling between rural villages and home sites. There is no hunting or village travel in the core of the original Denali Park. The only type of snowmobile use at issue here is recreational snowmobile use. While there are currently no riders that overturn the Denali decision on any bills that have been passed through the House or the Senate, we know that Senator Murkowski was deeply disappointed by the Park Service regulation. The time-tested way of sidestepping federal regulations that congressmen don't like is by reversing them as language added to an appropriations bill, and we are expecting to see attached to another one this fall. So check that out with the snowmobile. Also have a little addition to that with Bush's involvement in this. He come help us out, stop the Bush rollback of Yellowstone snowmobile ban. You know, you're hiking, you don't want to get run over by a snowmobile. You know, we're just camping here. Please ask your representative to sign the Holt Gerstrest letter to protest the rollback of the Yellowstone snowmobile decision. The deadline for sign-ons is September 7th, so we got to get on this. You can reach your representative at your congressional switchboard number, and if you guys got a panda, check this out. It's area code 202-224-3121, and that's your representative at area code 202-224-3121. So the Yellowstone National Park was in the middle of transitioning from uncontrolled personal snowmobile use to mass transit snow coaches after completing an EIS and receiving 65,000 public comments, which overwhelmingly supported the snowmobile ban. Totally. Due to a lawsuit by the snowmobile industry, the Bush administration has decided to halt the phase of snowmobiles and reopen the process. Please contact your representatives, ask them to sign onto the letter. You can contact Alex Davidson at, here's his number, in the 202 area code, 547-5974. That's 202-547-5974 for Alex Davidson. And his email, here we go, is A-D-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A vidsonadavidson at americanlands.org. americanlands.org. If you have any questions or would like a copy of this letter, bring it to your representative. We got it for you.
That was Jason. Let's move to South America. Oil companies' assault of Ecuadorian activists and journalists condemned internationally. Consortium officials violently remove journalists and nine women staging a sit-in at the company's headquarters. Nine women environmentalists were violently assaulted when they attempted a peaceful sit-in at the offices of Oleoducto de Crudos Pesados Consortium in Quito, Ecuador. The sit-in was in support of a general strike underway in the oil-producing region of Lago Agrio to protest the construction of the new heavy crude pipeline by the consortium. Company security guards destroyed TV stations' cameras, assaulted activists and journalists while taking possession of their photographic equipment in an attempt to prevent coverage of the incident. One journalist from El Universo, a leading national daily, was reportedly locked in a room and beaten by OCP employees. International human rights and environmental organizations quickly denounced the actions of the consortium with a flood of calls and emails urging the Ecuadorian and international media to expose this incident. The demonstrators were from Action Ecologica, an Ecuadorian grassroots non-governmental organization opposed to the construction of the OCP, and Oil Watch International, which is a Quito-based network of communities in South America, Asia, and Africa affected by the oil industry. The OCP consortium has clearly demonstrated how it intends to treat Ecuadorians who exercise their legitimate right to protest the impacts of the company's operations, said Alexandra Almeida, Action Ecologica. The $1.1 billion 500-mile OCP pipeline would transport heavy crude from the Ecuadorian Amazon to a refinery in Esmeraldas, Ecuador, on the Pacific coast. With the OCP, Ecuador intends to double oil production from the Amazon region. The Ecuadorian government, the World Bank, and the IMF tout the project as a cornerstone of the economic plan and aimed at alleviating the country's burgeoning external debt. The consortium of international companies includes Alberta Energy, Repsol YPF, AGIP, Perez Compank, Kerr McGee, and the Los Angeles-based Boo Hiss Occidental Petroleum, whose operations on the Uwa people's land in Colombia have been the subject of widespread controversy. Germany's largest public bank, WestLB, is the leading financier behind the project, providing $900 million syndicated loan to the consortium. The pipeline faces growing resistance from both Ecuadorian and international groups concerned over the project's adverse impacts, such as soil and water contamination from spills and leaks, threats to intact rainforest ecosystems and indigenous lands, and the opening up of vast areas of the Amazon rainforest to oil exploration. Activists and women's and citizens groups also cite ongoing environmental problems with the current pipeline in Ecuador as cause for concern about the future OCP. In May, the country's existing pipeline ruptured due to a landslide, spilling 7,000 barrels of oil. This accident was the 14th major oil spill since 1998. In the past year, at least five bombings of Ecuador's oil pipelines have occurred, adding to the environmental risks of the OCP. Now let's talk about some upcoming gatherings here in the United States. One of them is the Buckeye Gathering. That's happening September 21st through the 23rd at Camp Clifton in Yellow Springs, Ohio. In our current political climate, the principles of conservation have been overwhelmed by the industrial cries for increased production and increased extraction. The forests and coal fields of Ohio are literally where these new policies meet the ground. Exploring the values of a conservation ethic and demonstrating how conservation can be implemented through personal, community, and state commitment will be the focus of the 7th Annual Buckeye Gathering. If you want more information, please call Deano or Sabrino at 740-797-7200. That number once again, 740-797-7200. And the Buckeye Gathering is September 21st through the 23rd in Camp Clifton in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Also coming up that same weekend is the Allegheny Fall Gathering, September 21st through the 24th in the Allegheny National Forest. The Allegheny Defense Project Fall Gathering this year will be held in or near an area slated to be cut by the U.S. Forest Service as part of the 3,500-acre Duck Sheriff's timber sale. More ducks. We're awash with ducks tonight. The site is adjacent to the 1,000-acre Minister Creek Roadless Area and Fools Creek and also near the popular Heart's Content Old Growth area. The fall gathering is an opportunity to meet forest activists from throughout Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio, and beyond, and learn more about the threats facing the forests in our bioregion and what you can do to defend the Alleghenies. For more information, contact the Allegheny Defense Project. Their number, 814-223-4996. Once again, the number, 814-223-4996. If you want to send email, try info@AlleghenyDefense.org. That's info, and Allegheny is spelled A-L-L-E-G-H-E-N-Y, defense.org. And, of course, their webpage, www.AlleghenyDefense.org. You have fun typing all that in there. All right, and we'll get to more announcements next week. Want to know where Casey Neal's playing? Well, September 14th, Casey will be doing a solo house concert in Seattle, Washington. The address, 712 27th Avenue at 8 p.m. There's other people will be there, and so you get a lot for your $6. Once again, Seattle, Washington, September 14th, solo house concert at 712 27th Avenue in Seattle, Washington. In Portland, Oregon, on the 16th, Casey is at the People's Food Co-op Benefit, and that's taking place at the SEIU Union Hall, two blocks south of Southeast Powell and 26th. I guess if you live in Portland, you know where the SEIU Union Hall is. Once again, that's the September 16th in Portland, Oregon, at the People's Food Co-op Benefit. If you want more information about that, 503-232-9051. That's 503-232-9051. Starts at 3, Casey plays at 6. And Casey has more fall concerts, and we'll let you know as we get closer to those. Here's a little note from our friend Stormwaters. Greetings from Bella Coola, British Conquestia. I'm up here working in the Great Bear Rainforest with the Nuxalk First Nation. There is a mining company called Polaris who wants very badly to put in an aggregate mine and a deep-sea port specifically to provide materials for asphalt and concrete, etc., to California cities. They've sent three reps up here to Bella Coola to butter up the natives with promises. These guys are so candy-coated you can feel your teeth rot just listening to them. They've been holding open houses and field tours, and the Nuxalk people are asking some very incisive questions, but the community is very deeply divided over the issue. One question that has been raised deals with Polaris's history or track record. These guys claim that Polaris is only 2 years old, but there is a lot of history and experience with the mining industry within Polaris. They say nothing about where or with whom this history and experience lies. Does anybody out there have any info on Polaris and where they come from? Something smells fishy here, and I'm not referring to the current salmon runs. Many thanks. Stormwaters wants to know. If you want to send him stuff, send it to Stormwaters, Cold Mountain, Cold Rivers, Box 7941, Missoula, Montana, 59807. Once again, that's Cold Mountain, Cold Rivers, Box 7941, Missoula, Montana, 59807. If you'd like to call, leave a message at 406-728-0867. That's 406-728-0867. Or storm@wildrockies.org is the email address. Once again, that's storm@wildrockies.org. Looking for some artwork down in Los Angeles. Some environmental artists are showing their art at the TAG Gallery. That stands for the Artist Gallery, or TAG. The art show is taking place at 2903 Santa Monica Boulevard at Yale in Santa Monica, California, and the show will run through September 22nd. Some of the art's for sale and will benefit the Bologna Wetlands Land Trust. Those are the folks that just won their battle down there, at least won a part of it. They're going to be able to buy a portion of the Playa del Rey development down there and keep those wetlands safe. So they need money, and this is one way they can get it. Buy some art down at the TAG Gallery. Once again, the Artist Gallery is located at 2903 Santa Monica Boulevard at Yale in Santa Monica. The show runs through September 22nd. Let's see. If you're listening to this tonight or in a couple of days, there will be a reception Saturday, September 8th from 5 to 8 p.m. So if you want more information about the Bologna Wetlands Land Trust, try www.bologna.org. That's www.bologna.org. Let's get into animal news. We haven't done animal news in a while.
This is about the great blue heron rookery was destroyed in Los Angeles. Check this out. After a two-day siege wherein developers prevailed in decimating the only great blue heron rockery on the Los Angeles County coastline, activists have committed to filing criminal and civil complaints for violations by these bird home destroyers of both county code as well as California Coastal Act. The heron rookery has been flourishing in Marina Del Rey, adjacent to the proposed Playa Vista property at the Bologna wetlands, where developers' bulldozers had recently, several years ago, forced the birds from nesting sites at the wetlands on Bologna Creek when bulldozing without required Coastal Commission permits. This Villa Venetia Apartments site was seen by scientists as one of the last sites at Bologna that had all of the characteristics that herons appear to require for settling in with nesting activity. You know what that means. On Tuesday night, after two of the heron trees full of nests, some nests which had been used for the past 3 years, were denuded of all vegetation and nests, as well as some of the higher branches that are attractive to the majestic birds, four herons were seen by apartment dwellers standing in the trees in the spot where their nests previously were. Wow. On Wednesday morning, activists informed the county sheriff and other county officials of code violations. That's right, as others plead with coastal commissioners and their staff to halt the destruction. The developer was intent on destroying the remaining tree branches in the rookery and hauling out all the giant nests, a goal in which they ultimately achieved. What? In the meantime, activists argued over whether the trees were on private or public property. They are on public property. It doesn't really matter. Still, and they tried to convince the sheriff's department that the developer required a permit from the Coastal Commission for this destruction. One activist climbed into the last remaining tree in the rookery and successfully defended the tree for a while until sheriffs ordered him down. Finally, a cease and desist order on this last tree was evidently issued by the Coastal Commission, but the sheriff's department allowed the destruction, as is reported that developers told the sheriffs they didn't care. They would simply pay the fines. Also, the county council's office gave the word to sheriffs that the developers could proceed. Hey, money doesn't buy anything, everything, even anything worth value. Great thanks are owed to the California Coastal Commission and its staff for doing the right thing in attempting to halt this destruction. However, for months, activists have expressed concern to the commission over this heron rookery, seeking protective status as an ESHA, environmentally sensitive habitat area. A recent lawsuit settlement contained a provision that herons would be given a particular attention in review of the local coastal program, the LCP. Now, proactive action, when activists first sounded the alarm on the issue, could have prevented this needless destruction. That's right. That's a good lesson for all those activists that are thinking whether they should do something or not. Do it. Just do it.
Do it today. Thanks, Jason. Moving to Mexico, Mexico seizes a lion's cub and hundreds of animal skins. Mexico said last week it seized hundreds of animal skins, some of them from endangered species, as well as two parrots and a lion's cub in a series of raids around the tourist resort of Cancun. In raids around the Caribbean state of Quintana Roo this week, government environmental agents impounded a live three-week-old lion cub, 138 snakeskin belts, a toucan, an ocelot, 8 pounds of frozen deer, the environmental watchdog Profipa said. In one raid on a taxidermist, agents found the skins of two lions, 23 jaguars, 12 pumas, 62 crocodiles, 36 ocelots, and 5 anteaters. A Profipa official said one man was arrested on suspicion of trafficking the animals and skins, and that 5 others are under investigation. The skins, meat, and animals appear to have been destined for the domestic market in Mexico, he added. The raids began as part of Operation Viper to track down on the illegal trade of animals and their skins, and we want to thank Reuters News for that service. Well, that's just about all the time we have for news here on Earth First Radio. If you'd like to get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzeef@cruzeio.com. That's cruzeef@cruzeio.com, cruzeef@cruzeio.com. Or you can send snail mail to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And please, be sure to send all those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance of the event. I can't read them after they happen. It doesn't make much sense, you know. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First Movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address, P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. That address for the Earth First Journal is P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. And I'd like to add that's one of the finest publications in the environmental world. You can listen to Earth First Radio live on your computer every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Not for long. We're going to be changing to Pacific Standard Time, but who cares? Just figure it out, okay? Try the website www.microradio.net/FRSC. That's microradio.net/FRSC. You can also go to www.live365.com. Search for Free Radio Santa Cruz and listen in. That's live365.com. There's lots of great shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz, so listen in anytime. And if you're looking for one of our older shows, you can always find Earth First Radio archive shows on the World Wide Web. Those are stored at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net, and search for Earth First Radio. This is show number 156. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we'd like to thank Jason for joining us here tonight. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney off the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And now we're going to listen to some music from Robert Hoyt. This is off of his new Mind's Eye CD. Here it is.
I wake and sit up in the bright sunshine. Things are just as crazy as they seem. I see the old man's beard up in the lodgepole pine, and I realize that it is not a dream. Summers in the mountains of central Idaho. It's hot as hell one day, next day it snows. The nights are short, the days are long and slow, but the night work gets done. What happens now, no one knows. So we so we head over.